the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. That's F-I-S-S-I-O-N, Fission, because that's the age we're living in, post-Fukushima. Today is June 15th. It's Wednesday. Thank you for joining us. Can't believe we're halfway through the year. We have on the line with us Donna Gilmore from SanOnofreSafety.org. And she has been with us several times, and today we are going to be discussing a variety of concepts and ideas here. So let me get right to it. We only have an hour to share with Donna. Donna, thank you for joining us, and thank you so much for sharing your time with our listeners and myself.
Thanks a lot. I really, really appreciate being able to share the information that everybody needs to know, because you won't find corporate media talking about these things. So it's very critical.
Not only will we not find them talking about it, but they suppress this information. If you begin to talk about it, they cut off your mic.
So I actually was able to get on a CBS Los Angeles and with some information, so that was surprising. There's a new community group being formed based in Laguna Beach regarding the concerns about how they want to store waste at the San Onofre nuclear plant. So hopefully that will, you know, result in some action. So I was able to get some messaging on the problems with the canisters at San Onofre and elsewhere, where they can't be inspected, repaired, or maintained, and they have no plan in place if one of them starts leaking radiation.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. There's no plan in place. I mean, considering it's in a multi-million population, it's sitting there completely exposed and they have no plan.
Yeah, 8.5 million people in a 50-mile radius.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, New York, they have similar containers with the same problems in pretty much every state that has nuclear reactors has waste stored in these thin canisters that can crack and leak in a short time. So some press in CBS, and then a friend of mine was in Sacramento and she said it made the news there. So apparently they're showing that same segment in other markets. So that's good. I've been spending time working on the Bernie Sanders campaign. I took a look at all the candidates' position on nuclear. Trump has nothing on his website about nuclear at all. The only quote I found was somebody that had asked him about Fukushima, and he truly appeared, concerned. I mean, you could see from his face that he got how bad it was. But then he said, well, but we need nuclear energy. So that was the only thing I've been able to find on him. Now, Hillary Clinton, on her website, she defines nuclear as clean energy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she needs to go to the Webster's Dictionary for the word clean rather to the nuclear propagandist that she must be using.
Mm-hmm.
She also promotes new nuclear technology, like, and no mention of the problem with the waste being basically uncontainable for even short-term rather than even long-term. I mean, it's insane. Bernie Sanders, on his webpage, he basically recognizes that the nuclear waste is unsafe. They don't have a good solution for it. And he recommends closing all the reactors down, not immediately, but as you can get them shut down.
Yeah.
And not new. So he's really the only anti-nuclear candidate running for president. Now, why were not all the environmental groups and all the anti-nuclear people, why were they not actively involved in coming out and speaking publicly in support of the only anti-nuclear candidate? That was very disappointing to me to see that. Or have you seen anything at all,
you know,
like that?
It's interesting because one of a current conversation I'm having with some activists up here in the Northwest is about 350.org with Bill McKibben, who is the climate change guru. He has been quoted several times saying that we need to transition off of fossil fuel and use nuclear for about 10 years, but that his position is nuclear is not sustainable, but we can lean on it. It's cleaner than fossil fuel, and it's what else did he say? It was cleaner. Oh, the only thing that he doesn't like about it is that it's expensive. And I, you know, like I have been flipping out because you cannot be an environmentalist and be on the fence about nuclear post-Fukushima. There's just no way.
Right.
I mean, I could get that maybe in 2000 when we didn't have this massive catastrophe. But it's for him to say nothing about Fukushima in regards to climate change, because we've had now 5 years of a nuclear volcano spewing the hottest waste product into the ocean. You can't tell me that's not affecting it. And so,
well, the people that are focused on, it's really a lot of propaganda that the Democratic Party for the most part, and groups like 350 or McKibben, they've fallen into that trap that they have to make a choice between nuclear and climate change, which is a false choice.
Well, I think, to be honest, one of my things that I'm researching now, and I haven't gotten a response, and I'm going to send them a written response and a threat to ask the IRS to ask them for it. I want a copy of the page of their donors. I have a feeling that they are getting contributions from the nuclear industry, which is why he's softballing it. That's my intuition. I don't know if it's true. So I'm going to find out. And if that is true, that means he's Bill McKibben. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying he's been poorly informed. He has been focused on other things and hasn't really done his homework. He's probably been fed, you know, I spoke to a young woman at a Bernie rally, at the Bernie rally here in Eugene. She told me that France had figured out what to do with the nuclear waste and that nuclear energy was really great and that we were moving into it and it was perfectly okay. Now, she was about 22 years old going to the University of Oregon, and her teachers in science told her this.
Well, you know, I'm very disappointed at the university system, the nuclear, and I'm sure the other corporate entities have basically, you know, they give grants. I've read their curriculum at MIT regarding nuclear, and it says nuclear waste is safely stored and doesn't go into even much more detail than that. So they've really infiltrated our universities.
Yes.
So what they're hearing from their instructors is the propaganda that the instructors have bought into.
That's exactly right.
You know, you know, so my website, sanitaryfreesafety.org, I've taken the information that I found on the internet, the credible information. I've got Nuclear Regulatory Commission documents, professional labs that do research, all the same sources that the nuclear industry would know, but it's information they don't want you to know. And I've made it in an easy way so you can actually learn the truth and really bust the myths of the propaganda that's being spread, maybe unknowingly, by the, you know, university professors and various things. And the industry's done a good job of keeping this information from people, but it's actually hiding in plain sight, a lot of it on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission website, but, you know, not many people know how to find it, and I have figured out how to do that.
I have to commend you every time. I mean, honestly, you do have the go-to website as far as I'm concerned. It's clean. It's laid out well. You keep it up to date with good graphs that you make. You have links for anyone anywhere across the country who wants to get active in stopping these nuclear monsters. They can use much of the information, and I really encourage anyone who cares about this issue to use your page as a focal point, because it will teach people and it gives information and provides links. I mean, if you want to get up and running, people need to visit sanonofresafety.org. It is really an excellent, excellent site, Donna.
Well, thank you. You know, the goal is it for the average citizen and for activists to learn to use it. There's handouts that are done. If somebody wants to talk to me, or I've actually helped activists in Illinois customize some handouts for them, been on some of their calls consulting with them. This is something we have to do. There's no choice. I mean, we've got 2,000 nuclear waste canisters that are ticking time bombs. Each one contain more than a Chernobyl's worth of radiation. They are subject to cracking from environmental conditions, be it ocean or air pollution or even insects scratching the surface. They can start the cracking process, and once a crack starts in one of these canisters, it can go through the wall. According to the NRC, once it has a crack, it can go through the wall in 16 years. And then I have other data that shows it could be faster. And if you have even a microscopic through-wall crack, one of the presidents of the canister company, Holtec, admitted that millions of curies of radiation will be released from even a microscopic crack. So, and we have him on video saying this. We have the NRC director of spent fuel management. He licenses storage and transport nuclear waste canisters. We have him on video admitting inspecting even the outside of these canisters is not a now thing, he says. So we have the evidence. This isn't Donna Gilmore saying this stuff. This is the vendors that make the products. This is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission director that licenses these things. So we have hard evidence. We just need to get it out there and to the right people.
Well, it's like this thing that you have on Diablo Canyon. It's on your page about the conditions for stress corrosion cracking in 2 years. That's a, you know, are those elected officials that live in that area, they know this, correct? Like, this is information.
You know, what they do is they believe the wrong experts. This is what I've run into in California and other places is, the people they listen to as their experts are not giving them accurate information. But, you know, I've had Barbara Boxer's, one of her energy staff people say, well, you know, we're not experts, so we have to listen to our experts. And unfortunately, they're being given misinformation.
I think that's the case with Bill McKibben. I think that's his issue also.
Well, I don't, yeah, maybe that's the case, but I have not spoken to him. I don't know if he would change his mind. Sometimes these people that are so into the global warming issue, they don't, you know, they don't want to see other things. But So I don't know. Maybe I should reserve judgment on him, but, you know.
Well, my thing is about that with the global warming. I had this conversation with Chuck Johnson. Like, I do not know how these people that are interested in the climate change, the global warming, or what, however you want to phrase that phrase of our planet warming up. To me, it's obvious that 5 years of dumping the hottest material to the bottom, everything falls to the bottom, is not warming up the bottom of the ocean and releasing, it's exacerbating the release of the methane. It cannot help but exacerbate it because the sheer amount of volume of material being poured into it. At least near the coast of Japan. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's unconscionable. Yeah. It's I just don't comprehend it. So,
I hear what you're saying, and it could very well be a huge difference. But what I do is I stick to things that I can prove. I don't have any speculation on my
website.
That's
why we love you, because you're a facts person and I'm a feely person.
Yeah, no, there's, you know what? I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but not their own facts, okay?
Right, exactly.
And we have enough facts on our side that we don't need to speculate, even though other things may be true. If we don't have the hard evidence, it can end up hurting you, because then you get marginalized. And
right.
They have a hard time marginalizing me because I use their own information against them.
That's right.
So I'm kind of, it's really where our power is, you know, and then we just need to present that information in an effective way and get it to the people in power that have the authority to do something about it. That's, you know,
mm-hmm.
one of the problems I've had is finding an expert that's willing to speak out on the dry canister issue. You know, a material engineer would be perfect. But a lot of them, excuse me, this is my dog wanting to play with a toy here. when I find the engineers, they understand the issue. A lot of times they had no idea that we were storing this nuclear waste in thin stainless steel canisters, and especially near the ocean. You know, they're shocked to find out. They don't know. But then they're not willing to speak out publicly because they make their money directly or indirectly from the nuclear industry. So it's a job killer for them. So if there's anybody out there that knows a material engineer is a material engineer that would be willing to get educated on this and speak on this issue, that would be extremely helpful. You know, I'm a retired IT manager, a systems analyst. I've designed major systems and, you know, mission critical systems. I was part of the team that developed the employment payroll system for the state of California. But, I'm not a material engineer. My career has always been going in to businesses or operations and learning the business and analyzing laws and various things like that. So I'm able to pick up a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
learn a lot of stuff.
Well, this is the interesting thing. I wanted to ask you this question before. If you had found out about this prior to retirement, would your job have allowed you to be as vocal as you are right now?
Yeah, because in my career field, there wouldn't have been an impact.
Okay.
But I definitely wouldn't have had the time to do what I'm doing now.
That's,
you know,
what I find. I really, you know, I have my own business. I'm in school. And so that's where I'm at. Like, just my plate is not big enough.
there's time and energy. So that's the advantage that I am retired, so that I do have the time to do the research and that kind of stuff. Grab that away from. I wanted to talk about this presidential election a little bit.
Okay.
Hold on. I volunteered for the Bernie campaign and actually hosted Bernie volunteers at my home, and actually became a Bernie hub. So people that wanted to learn how to to do phone calls or do canvassing. They would come to my house and they would get trained. And I met the most wonderful people, these volunteers, the Bernie people. They are logical, intelligent, and compassionate people, you know. And it's amazing that they all have that in common. So that was a great experience. Now, in California, the press came out. Press came out and said that that Hillary won California, but we have more votes outstanding than Hillary got votes. So the California election is not over, and they forced all the independent people. They call them no party preference here in California, weird name. They forced them to vote with what they call provisional ballots, which they shouldn't have done. They should have just gave them a Democratic ballot to vote so they could vote for president. Now, all those provisional ballots are still being counted, but it's all a manual count, so we don't have all the results in. So, and then a number of places, they had the polls didn't open for an hour and a half, so all the people that wanted to vote before they went to work could not vote. That was happening at numerous locations. I have never seen this in California before. If it was here, I didn't know it, but things are not as they should be in California when it comes to elections. So
there are about 11 states, as it's being reported, about the of election rigging, and there's a lawsuit going on about this. I mean, this is the shocking thing to me, Donna. The Democratic Party is committing suicide to protect Wall Street, essentially, that's my opinion. Like, they are sabotaging the people who want to have a good progressive Democrat. He holds great progressive Democratic ideals and positions, and they would rather protect Wall Street, sabotage Bernie Sanders. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am not ever, especially, I mean, they're expecting us to get on board and vote for Hillary after she stole the nomination from Bernie. That's kind of like asking us to vote for Bush. In my view, a vote for Hillary is a vote for Bush. And this whole thing with Trump shooting himself in the foot all the time, he's the front runner. He doesn't have to sabotage himself, except that I really believe he's in it to get Hillary elected. I think that's why he's in. And right now he's been sabotaging himself in the foot so badly that Hillary now leads him in the polls. And people are beginning to feel like, well, Bernie can't possibly win, so we're going to have to vote for Hillary. And I am not ever voting for, and if that means Trump, I'm less afraid of Trump than I am of Clinton, especially after this primary. That's how I feel.
Well, when I think of voting for Hillary, I mean, she supported the Iraq War. That decision alone showed such bad judgment that you would go into a war without understanding the consequences, that you would hand over a war to Bush. You know, give me a break.
And they fell in line and voted for the Unpatriot Act. They just clicked their heels, said Sieg Heil, and rolled in fascism. Yes. No.
Yeah. If you actually look at what she's done, not what she says, but what she's done, I mean, I feel like if I go to the polls and I see Hillary's name, I don't see the name Hillary. I see the name war. I see, okay, I am voting to go to war with some country. And with the Iraq War, you don't get a do-over. All those people died. The Iraqis died. The Americans died. They come back wounded. They come back with PTSD.
Well, that to me, the death is almost an easier sentence than the maiming of people and children needlessly.
There's areas in Iraq where because they used uranium tipped bombs, so they would penetrate bunkers. We've actually poisoned parts of Iraq with those bombs, and they told people in one country you shouldn't have kids because they might be deformed. I mean, this is obscene. stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't discuss nuclear war stuff on my website. I try and stay focused mm-hmm. on the nuclear engineering, nuclear waste. But so I can't vote for war, and that's what I would be doing. I mean, if I had one word to describe each candidate, with Hillary, it would be war, or basically corporate. You know, with Trump, it would be hate. I think that word describes his campaign. And with Bernie, it would be love, you know.
I would describe Trump as bankrupt.
Well, he's generating a lot of hate and divisiveness is one of his things. Well, and he's for Trump, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's for Trump, Hillary's for corporation, Bernie is for the people.
Right.
You know, so that's another way of putting it. So how, you know, I just can't picture myself voting for war.
Well, let's talk about this idea about the Bernie campaign, that it's not over, because that's what people are hearing over and over again, that it's really over, that it's over for Bernie. It's just a matter of time. I can't tell you the number of people that have told me on this radio show that come the convention, Bernie's going to click his heels and say, we need to get behind Hillary because we can't have Trump. And honestly, Donna, if he does that, I don't think I'm voting on the Green Party, but I would be grotesquely disappointed if that's what he does.
He's going to have a meeting on Thursday. There's going to be a live webcast. Bernie's having a live webcast. I think it's 5:30 Pacific time. So let's just wait and hear what happens. I'm not ready to give up on this.
Me
I'm
either.
Not ready.
I mean, she should be the one to drop out. She is the one who needs to drop out with all the vote rigging and all the. I mean, it has been shameful the way the Democratic Party has treated their base and treated this election. I mean, they learned from Bush quite well how to steal nominations and steal the election. It's outrageous.
Well, we have the Bernie isn't officially doing this, but the Bernie volunteers are pretty independent and pretty active on their own. They just take the lead. They don't have to wait for Bernie. And we have people that are monitoring, overseeing the counting of the absentee ballots, the vote-by-mail ballots and the provisional ballots. So that process is going on as we speak.
Now, what happens if Bernie wins California? What does that do? Can you explain, since you're a Bernie?
Well, he gets, number one, it sends a huge political message because, you know, California has a huge amount of delegates and leads the nation in a lot of ways in terms of trends and things like that. So it really, I mean, if you don't win California, that's a huge signal, period, and with a large number of delegates. So that carries a lot of influence. Hillary can't even win California, and it's a Democratic state, you know. And we'll just have to see what happens next. Now, a lot of different things can happen. A lot of variables. You have the issue of the FBI investigation. I mean, Hillary had that email server at home, which any other person would have been fired and had criminal charges if they broke the kind of laws that she did with that FBI, with that server. Now, If they don't take that serious, well, that's a whole other thing. But and then Trump is so good at going after his opponents, you know, he may actually help the situation with whatever he comes out with. You saw him knock over one opponent after the other that took him on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every single one he took on. So let's just see. You know, because he's a good messenger. He knows how to deliver messages that people, report on and things. So, you know, so let's just see what happens there. Were you aware that Hillary had four mini strokes and is on blood thinners?
Yes, I was, and I actually wrote that on my Facebook page yesterday. She, I think she should drop out, and she can because of this vote rigging. I mean, this is an unprecedented amount of vote rigging in our country in the modern age on the Democratic Party. And I think a grace. That's what I said. I think Bernie's going to meet with her privately after the elections and say, "Hey, look, you can use your heart as an excuse. You can bow out gracefully without making this a big dirty campaign." And I think he ought to. I think he ought to make her to drop out, or because really, I don't know about you, but most of the, especially the young people, they're not going with Hillary. I mean, I'm not going with Hillary either. So the Democratic Party better get with it and get behind Bernie, period, because this is not going to work. So, I mean, it will be a very interesting. It's going to be a very interesting next couple of weeks because I do know that she's had this heart problem. And there's been a couple of times she's making a speech, she like pats her heart. Have you noticed that? So I
Say
think
that
she,
again.
there's been a few times when I've sort of watched her. I actually can't listen to her. I put her on mute and I just watch how she animates, right? Just to, I like to keep track of her. And there, I've been watching her in some speeches, and there's times when she'll like pat her heart or put her hand. I think she's sicker than she leads on. I think she's,
Yeah.
I don't think she's doing well.
Well,
And
I mean, this is an extremely stressful thing for her to go through. You know,
yeah.
this is, that's a very grueling process. I just received a text from from one of the Bernie folks involved in checking the elections, and it says Bernie's Election Day vote share. He's crushing his election day results. He beat his election day results in 16 of 17 counties that made
Wow.
updates to the Democratic ticket yesterday. Since it's likely most counties have yet to count provisional ballots, only mail-ins, it appears that Bernie is winning the vote-by-mail count by large margins in all of the smaller counties, and has remained right around 50% in the larger counties. It's still too early to tell, but if the pattern continues, we should all be very skeptical of the election day results so far. So there's a trend of things leaning towards Bernie. So we will see. It's not over yet, and these are encouraging results. So
Well, it's going to be an it.
we're even winning in Orange County. We're even winning in Orange County, where I live. So this is
Yeah,
amazing. I mean, Orange County is the no party prep. We had. I mean, I cannot believe there were that many Democrats in Orange County. It's a
me
very
either.
in South Orange County. It's a very red county. So.
When I was in Redondo Beach, we used to call it the Orange Curtain.
Yes,
Because it was so
so
Republican, like, really, you don't even dare talk about. I mean, really, seriously, like, black people knew better than to even drive through Orange County and lots of parts of it. You know what I mean? It was like, seriously, it was really a frightening. But it has changed, and I think the reason it's changing is because people are seeing the results of that type of attitude. It is divisive. It's exactly like yesterday. The Congress has voted down a bill. The Republican Congress has voted down a bill to charge students 0.5% and voted in a bill to charge students 10% interest. 10% interest.
Well, I tell you, if the young people, I mean, this is truly a political revolution that Bernie has started. He's provided this inspirational leadership, and young people, I hope they get the fact that they need to stay involved. We have built a me being part of this Bernie movement now. We have built an infrastructure and a network of people that are active, logical, aware, and have huge hearts and have learned how to run campaigns, and we're a force to be reckoned with now, and we're continuing to grow. And I just hope that the people that have got involved in this don't give up. The people that give up are the losers. Okay, that's what separates the losers from the winners, the ones that give up, and they want you to give up.
That's right.
But we have, you know, we have the power, as long as we have the internet, so we can get the truth. And now we have this huge network that's growing. So people need to not give up. That's just what they want. You know, we outnumber them. We still have the vote, and I know there's a lot of potential corruption, but that's just another problem that we have to fix. So we can do it. It's a, you know, if you give up, then you deserve what you get, you know?
Yeah. So, and I think that's what's happened in America. We have gotten what we are getting because people have not been engaged. People basically, I think when the election was stolen in 2000 and 2004, 9/11 happened, it was obvious that it was not as it was told. People just said, well, it's really over with. There's nothing we can do. But that is not true. There's always something we can do.
Right. Now you don't want to hit your head against the wall. You want to do something that's going to be effective. So this is great news. I mean, California can help start this political revolution. That would be great. But I tell you, the people involved in the Bernie stuff, super intelligent people. I mean, they're passionate about this, and you know, so we have some future leaders here. Some people are saying, oh, we'll jump to the Green Party and all that, but I think that I haven't given up on the idea that we can just take over the Democratic Party. I mean,
that would be great. I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. We can actually, you know, turn the ship back around. I mean, that's the thing. Our ship is headed in the super wrong direction, and we have enough time to turn it around, and we have enough people. So it's just a matter of actually believing that we can do it. That's what I think.
Well, you know, these super delegates, I mean, she hasn't won the magic number that you need on the delegates that she needs.
But the delegates,
so I mean, the people, you know, these elected officials that are planning to just, you know, vote for Hillary like sheep, you know, they need to be getting some pushback from their constituents about that.
So anyway,
I guess getting back to the nuclear, the Department of Energy is making visits around the country, giving people some kind of hope that we're going to be able to take the nuclear waste in their community and move it someplace else and give it to some other poor, unfortunate group that supposedly wants it. There's a letter written by the governor of New Mexico to Energy Secretary Moniz saying that she supports the communities in New Mexico that want to store the waste. But in her letter, she puts that this waste is safe. It's been safe for decades, and it's safe, and nothing's going to go wrong. So she has been misinformed or lied to that this waste is safe. And so if any community does decide to take it, it would be under false pretenses. So I sent information to the governor's office and spoke with a number of different people there. I have not gotten, I made a couple of calls, but I sent them information with all the links to substantiate it, but I have not gotten feedback, so you know, I don't know if that's a dead end, but you know, so that's one of the myths that's going on. And John Kotek, who is leading this effort at the DOE, I think he reports directly to Moniz. He is going around the country saying absurd things like, "Oh, this waste will be fine for 1,000 years." That's what the NRC said. Well, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has never said that kind of a statement will be good for 1,000 years. He's just making this stuff up as he goes.
Wow.
And you know, is it, and is he the person briefing the president or briefing the secretary? I mean, and when I ask questions of Moniz, I mean, of John Kotek, you can go online and ask questions online in their meetings. And I said, were you aware that the the NRC director says you can't inspect the canisters? Were you aware that the president of Holtec says you can't repair these in a microscopic crack, through all crack, or release millions of curies of radiation? Are you aware of all this? And his answer was, well, I'm meeting with the NRC in a few days, and that's all he said. And then at the next meeting, he makes this outlandish statement, they'll be a safe for 1,000 years. So this guy is just lying. He's got all the, I've given his staff all the documentation. So we've got a con man at the Department of Energy, bottom line.
Yeah, well, that's not
good. Going around.
I have been looking into this $82 million. You know, the Energy Department's about to invest $82 million in the new technology. And I can't see anywhere on the site that they're investing in better storage facilities in this new technology. So they're going to build these new small mini nuclear power plants, but they're still saving the waste in thin containers. I don't think they have changed their attitude one little bit on this issue, have they?
No, they're ignoring that issue. And, you know, Washington has leaks in their double wall canisters at Hanford, you know, the tanks. They have the military waste, plutonium, liquid waste there. The canisters they have tanks instead of canisters, and it's leaking, okay, leaking radiation. So I decided to research the technology being used, and I discovered, guess what? They're using thin-walled steel to store this waste, and it's in a manner that can't be inspected.
They're storing the waste up at Hanford in containers that cannot be inspected.
Correct. Yeah, in tanks. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's unconscionable.
Some parts they can inspect, but most of it they cannot inspect. So I wrote the state of Washington has a web page, a section where they kind of coordinate with Hanford, with the federal government. So, and they have a frequently asked questions and all of that. So I wrote to the state of Washington this section, and I said, could you please provide the specifications of these storage tanks? And the woman that wrote back, she sent me some information that didn't have that information. So I found it on the internet elsewhere, and then I sent it to her. And I said, how can, you know, are you aware these are, you know, half-inch thick walls and can't be inspected and blah, 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 blah. And then she wrote back, and she says, well, you know, we only expected they would last 20 years. We thought we would have this vitrification, which is encasing waste in glass system, built, so they only needed to last 20 years. You know, I mean, so they apparently knew what they were doing by, you know, and it's all about the money. It's all about picking something that's cheaper. Because if they really spent the money they need to contain this waste, it would be such a shocking amount of money that maybe they would have to start shutting down these facilities, you know, because what the real cost is storing this waste.
Let me ask you, Donna, this is maybe too big of a question for 15 minutes left on the show, but in all of your contact with these elected officials that you've made, because you, or with the NRC, is there any acknowledgement that the waste could destroy life on our planet? I mean, is there any acknowledgement that this is like a catastrophic error that they're making?
Like I said, they're believing the people that are telling them everything is fine. They don't really go there. You know, they don't really go there. And I was met with the California governor's the chief energy person that works directly for him, the governor's office. I said, I mean, how can you continue to keep Diablo Canyon open after Fukushima? you know.
Right.
And he said, well, unless it happens in this country, it's not going to make a difference.
What?
That was his, you know, opinion of the politics of it. And apparently he must be right. And then I said, well, the governor has the authority to shut down Diablo Canyon today if he wanted to. That plant is out of compliance with the Clean Water Act because it uses this once-through cooling process that kills millions of sea life. And he finally admitted, yes, that's true. He said, but because of global warming, you know, they don't want to have to replace it with gas plants. If it wasn't for that, he said they would shut it down, which, you know.
What about solar? Did they not even think about solar?
Well, they do not feel that renewables are ready to take the place.
Really? Did they even look at Germany, who went renewable like instantly within several months? I mean, the Germans shut down their nuclear power plants in less than a year, most of them.
Well, they believe, this is when he sent me, he said, well, you need to go talk to Per Petersen. You know, he's like their guru. This is who they listen to. And Per Petersen, he's a nuclear engineer at UC Berkeley. And they just think that, you know, that's their expert. At least this is what this person told me. Well, I've met Per Petersen. Per Petersen is so pro-nuclear. It's so ridiculous. He was saying, he spoke at a public meeting we had down in Southern California. Edison invited him to speak, Southern California Edison. And he said that once the fuel is put in the dry canisters, nothing can go wrong. So that shows you how little he knows.
His name is
P-E-R. P-E-R is his first name, and then Petersen. So he's at UC Berkeley. And then he said, and then he put in writing in this email stream that I ended up on, that, you know, the fuel won't degrade after it's in dry storage. Well, I've done enough research that I know better, and then I also work with this nuclear physicist, he knows better. So anyway, he replied to Pear. And then I replied to Pear, and I put in a link to the scientific document and the quote in the document in the name of the author, DeLeon, where how with this high burnup fuel that they are using in the United States, that the protective zirconium cladding becomes brittle and it can just shatter like glass. Hare was not aware of that. He wrote back to me. He replied to this email, and he said, Donna, you're right.
Wow.
So, I mean, this guy was on the Blue Ribbon, the President's Blue Ribbon Commission for what to do with nuclear waste.
And you're telling him information.
And I'm giving him information, and I have the email. I think I put it on my nuclear waste page. I actually have the email exchange with him where he said I was right. He said, oh, well, this must be fixable. And then I followed up with him later when he came down again, and he's basically ignoring it. And then this was the most outlandish thing he said. He came down later. This was after WIPP, the Waste Pilot Project, which is supposed to be the flagship underground waste storage facility in New Mexico. And they had a canister, a drum, it's a steel drum. It exploded in the facility, and it contaminated the whole place. The whole place is shut down now after spending God knows how many billions of dollars. And it released plutonium into the atmosphere, just a total failure. And he had the nerve to come to this meeting after WIPP, and he said, well, WIPP is an example of how to do things right. He says, hold on. Yeah, and he says, well, just imagine if that steel drum had been above ground, how much damage it would have been. I mean, this is, you know, a presidential advisor. This is a state of, a governor's advisor. You know, they're listening to the wrong people. And this has been the biggest challenge I've had is finding people with the credentials to speak up. But that's one of the biggest problems I have right now. It needs to be somebody in the United States, you know.
This is what they say his professional activities. Per Peterson performs research related to high-temperature fission energy systems, as well as studying topics related to safety and security of nuclear materials and waste management. For real? And you're telling him information? I mean, you must not be giving him information that he knows. He must have known that beforehand. He just had to admit it.
No, you know what? I'm beginning to think all these guys do is read PowerPoint presentations from vendors or something. And they trust the vendors that sell this stuff. I mean, wow. The dry storage, this is a material engineering issue. This is not a nuclear engineering issue. This is a corrosion expert. I mean, materials age, materials degrade. You know, a material engineer is the expert here, you know. So, that's really the issue. These guys are just, they believe what they're told. They want to believe it. They want to believe this stuff. No, what I'm finding is I speak to nuclear physicists and material engineers and biochemists and you name it. They don't know what's going on with this dry storage. This is an area that they haven't studied. Okay, this is what I'm finding. Now we're talking about the NRC. They know better. The NRC knows better. Their engineers know better. I learned about this from Daryl Dunn, one of their material engineers, in a presentation. That's where I learned about these canister issues. But he's since been directed not to talk to me.
Really?
Mark Lombard, yes, his division chief. Yeah, so if I call him or email him, he just forwards that to Mark Lombard, the director. And then the director, he just tries to give me a bunch of bureaucratic BS, you know.
Wow.
So, So Mark is, definitely a tool of the, you know, of the nuclear industry. But you can't get promoted. I doubt you could get promoted in management at the NRC, at least in the headquarters office, if you don't play nice with the nuclear industry. Why the presidential race is so important is the president, there's five NRC commissioners that determine our future when it comes to nuclear. They are appointed by the president, but they're confirmed by the Senate. So we need to have the right president and the right Senate. And the Senate controls their budget. So whoever controls the budget controls the power. And they control the budget of the NRC. And they, in the past, have threatened to cut their budget 40% if they don't play nice with the nuclear industry.
Oh, my gosh.
So politics is critical here. The states have no authority over nuclear radiation. The federal laws are fixed in a way that the states have no rights over nuclear. If you're going to fight issues at the state level, it has to be based on cost or some kind of environmental permit that doesn't involve nuclear radiation. You know, there's ways to work around this, but that's how the laws are set. So, you know, people want to drop out. They're just cooking their own goose, and they need to get more involved, not less involved.
Yeah, we need to lean in, not lean out. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, not to give up. If people feel like giving up, have them check the website. There's things we can do. And we need to get the message out. We need people to get the message out to everybody we can. First, they have to get educated. I mean, this is life-changing. I mean, if one of these canisters fails at San Onofre, or, you have them in New York, near New York, too, could take out Manhattan, you know, this radiation will go wherever the wind blows. And this is a Chernobyl. One canister is a Chernobyl full of cesium-137. One canister. And you got 2,000 around the state. Any one of those go. In California, you're talking about destabilizing the California economy, the national economy, the world economy.
Well, and then the radiation blows west to east, so the entire breadbasket of the nation goes bye-bye. I mean, this is the thing, and this is what I feel about like the presidential campaign is so important. Imagine if we had a nuclear meltdown with President Clinton or a President Trump, what the response would be. They would not warn us at all. They would not warn. I do not believe for a second that we would be advised in a timely manner across the nation.
What they're doing is they're raising the allowable amount of radiation we can have in our water. That's what's coming. The
That's
EPA
right.
is raising the limits to an unconscionable amount and claiming it's safe to drink. I
You know,
mean,
I
this is
saw
what
that story
going
yesterday.
on.
Was that a set? Is that a set deal that they're really doing it? I hadn't had a chance to address it.
Yeah, it's real. I don't know if it's draft or final at this point. I've
It
been
says
busy on other
EPA
things,
pushing
but
hike in radioactive contaminated water. The new
yeah.
guidance would permit exposure equivalent to 250 chest X-rays a year for the general population for an unlimited period of time.
Well, that what's misleading about that is internal radiation is much more dangerous than external. So X-rays are, it's not quite the same thing because once that radiation is inside of you, it will continue to damage your cells
Well, thank you for
while it's
making that
inside.
point. Thank you, Donna. That's actually really great. And this is even proposed, this is a story that's kind of anti-nuclear. And so people, we really need to think through this whole thing about how we're being forced to accept that radiation is just a natural part of our life now. That's just the way it has to go.
Well, I have a health risk section. I have an area called issues, and if you click on issues, you'll see a lots of different things. You'll learn about more about radioactivity, health issues, emergency planning issues, all different areas
Yeah, the one that says health
of this.
risks.
Yeah. So the health risk is good, and that'll help you. I tried to bust some of the myths that are out there, and my sources are things like the CDC, the FDA. I mean, I'm
Yeah,
actually
the
using
EPA, you actually.
EPA as my source. I'm
And you're
using
busting
the
the banana myth there too. That's the new one
right.
that came out of the University of Oregon is the banana. I mean, not University of Oregon. Oregon State University is the banana myth, where they say that we it's just like a banana, but the potassium in a banana. So it's
Yeah,
and then
and
you
they're
have a
talking.
great graphic that shows the alpha, beta, and gamma rays. It shows how it affects us. That's the really awesome part because it shows what happens there.
Exactly. And then yeah, so I've got a there's I don't it, there's so much to read. I try and just put the most important stuff there, the kind of make or break stuff, so you don't have to go through a bunch of miscellaneous stuff. So it's designed for the everyday person, but it's factual and hopefully presented in an effective way that you can use this information. You can counter the nuclear pro-nuclear people that are out there spreading misinformation. So, I'm hoping that will be a tool for people to use as a resource. I have journalists using my website because I make it easy. All the references are right there. They don't have to look anything up. So,
It's an
you
excellent website. I mean, bravo to you. It's run really, it is the hallmark website. Look, we have 40 seconds left for the radio show. I want to thank you, Donna, from SanOnofreSafety.org. Please go to her website. Thank you for joining us and sharing your information. I hope you will come back in 6 to 8 weeks and we can talk about what happened with the election. Update us on the work that you're doing to keep California safe.
Okay, well, great. I'm working nationally and not just on California, so
Awesome.
just so you know.
Well, thank you.
Okay, well, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, everybody. And put your courage feet on. This has really been an awesome show. Please take some action. Don't give up. Get actively engaged. We do need the right president. And thank you for joining us. We'll talk with you guys, I guess, on Friday, on Call In Friday. Thanks, Sonic.